New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome back to our second or third simulcast between Fight Game Media and BSPN. We're talking UFC 309 and a little bit of Jake Paul, Mike Tyson here with Paul Fontaine. What is up, my friend?
Not much. Just getting real excited for these two big shows over the next couple days.
So are you in on this Jake Paul, Mike Tyson thing?
Okay. So, I mean, I don't really follow boxing hardly at all anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, it's Mike Tyson. So I'm, you know, I've got somewhat of an interest, but I haven't really, like, I haven't seen any of his fights that he's had in the last, you know, probably 10 years, you know, like even the one big one, because, you know, you have to pay for it.
Right.
But this one's free for me because I have Netflix. So I'm like, I'll watch it. And, but what I'm actually really more interested in is just the presentation and how it works and everything, because obviously I'm a wrestling fan and I want, and UFC actually is talking about moving there too. So I'm interested to see how that's going to work. Like, how is the on-demand feature going to work? Like, if I start an hour late, can I rewind and watch again, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. do I have to watch live, all that stuff? So I'm way more interested in the actual broadcast than I am in the fight itself.
So, I mean, it's a great point in that, because of Netflix and the reach, somebody like you who doesn't really keep up with boxing, because there's so many things to keep up with, but also there's a cost, like there's an actual cost to it. And you're already spending tons of money to keep up with the UFC. The fact that you're willing to watch this fight because you feel like it's an event, like that shows that this is working on that platform, like the hype and everything. The reason why they're putting this fight on Netflix, it feels like it's working to me.
Yeah, and they're doing a really good job of promoting it, because I probably would have forgot about it, but I've gotten so many emails from Netflix reminding me about it. Every time I turn on Netflix, it's before I even get to the screen where you can log into your account, there's a big ad for Paul Tyson.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm like, there's no way anybody with Netflix that actually turns on the app at any point in the last 2 weeks doesn't know about this fight.
So it is it's very interesting that we have two giant shows this weekend, and I'm assuming that one of the reasons why we're doing that, I may have to change my camera, like I'm like a little bit behind here.
I think you just caught up.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So just a little bit in the weeds here, I use a software that basically makes my iPhone my video camera. And so the last couple times I've had to kind of switch it out to use my other camera because of something like that would happen, which is it just gets behind, yeah. And then it fast forwards to catch my face up to my voice.
I just assumed it was on my end. So
no, it's happened a couple times, but UFC, like I was like thinking about the Tyson and Paul thing and I was like, why is this on a Friday? And then when I looked at the dates, I was like, oh, because UFC is in New York on Saturday. So you don't want to compete against that show for the eyeballs, because the UFC is going to do excellent business for this show, 309. And so I was like, oh, but it makes it to be like this pretty insane combat sports weekend, which we haven't had one of those, I feel. Well, we did have the Canelo fight against who did Canelo fight? I even forgot who he fought, so it couldn't have been that big. But then we had that UFC fight at Sphere. That was like head-to-head, which wasn't great. But I like the way that this one stacks up with the back-to-back days.
Yeah, like, and I don't know, like, you'd probably know better than me, is it like a big card aside from Tyson Paul, or is it just that fight?
So it is one thing. If you want to dismiss Jake Paul as a boxer, 100% get it, understandable. Jake Paul as a promoter is actually doing some pretty interesting things when it comes to women's boxing. Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor, who fought a couple of years ago in a heavily contested fight.
I watched that fight.
They are fighting. The rematch is on the undercard of this show. They're going to get like more notoriety based on being the undercard in this Netflix fight than they would have had otherwise, at least in the U.S. I don't know how it would work in the U.K. for Katie, because Katie's pretty popular fighter.
Yeah.
But, you know, kudos to Jake for putting the women's fight on the underneath to give them the eyeballs. Because I think that, you know, from a boxing perspective, that's a real fight versus the kind of the circus fight that we're going to see in the main event.
I'm glad I asked that question. I'm glad you told me, because now I'll actually make a point, because I want to see that now, because I did see the first one. I think it might have been on DAZN at the time. Like I however it was, I watched it. I remember that. And I know Amanda Serrano. I think she's done some MMA. And Katie Taylor, I've heard of her too. So yeah, that's cool. So
all right, so we'll circle back to Tyson and Paul. Want to talk about UFC 309 first? You know, I was looking at before. I like the way Wikipedia puts records and stuff. So I usually use Wikipedia when I'm looking up fights. It's only John Jones's third fight since 2020. He's not active. Michael Chandler, first fight since 2022. He's been waiting on Connor. Stipe, not active. This is like the sell for this show is like your old favorites are back for this one night, in a sense. And I think it's going to work. I think there's a lot of momentum. But the momentum for the hardcore fans, now for the casual fans, I'm sure it's just John Jones at heavyweight fighting. You know, that they are portraying Stipe as the greatest heavyweight of all time. But that fight is bringing the people back. But the sort of the insiders, this fight isn't the story isn't really about this fight. It's about what happens after this fight, which is kind of interesting as well, because you have the Tom Aspinall thing and John Jones out and out said, I don't like this guy. I think his marketing tactics are shitty. He's having people troll me. And I'm not doing this, which is so funny, because you and I were watching MMA when John Jones was the young guy trolling all the older fighters. And now he's on the other side and Tom Aspinall trying to use tricks to get that fight. I kind of wonder, because Dave Meltzer said that he thinks Paheya and Jones is bigger. And for a singular fight, he might be right. Just for a pure buys fight, he's probably right. But if Paheya's already kind of made, if Aspinall fights Jones and actually beats Jones, then you have another guy who's made, which is kind of the strategy that I would use to try and put that fight together. But what do you think about kind of this, really the talk of this show is kind of about what happens after?
Well, I mean, that's all we really can talk about, because like in terms of, like you mentioned it, you know, you brought up that Jones, it's only his third fight since 2020. And meanwhile, I'm thinking Stipe's thinking that's he's pretty active, because I think it's his third fight since 2018. So, I mean, you know, this is a guy's like Stipe would I think he'd be already retired if it wasn't for the fact that he's been waiting to do this fight. They were supposed to fight last year. And then Jones got injured. And rather than take another opponent, Miocic is like, no, I'll just wait. And yes. And Jones, basically the same thing. Like he doesn't at this point. I think there's two guys he really is interested in fighting, and one of them is Stipe, because he's probably looked at as the greatest heavyweight of all time. And so for Jones to beat him, then that now in his mind, and probably in the mind of most experts, makes him the greatest heavyweight of all time. Yeah, even though Stipe is long past his prime,
right?
But you know, and then the other guy is Ngannou. that I think Jones really wants to fight, but that fight's not going to happen for other reasons. You know, yes. UFC's got no interest in bringing him back, and they're not going to work with another company. So that's, you know, that's where we're at there. So in terms of Aspinall, like, it's a risk reward thing for Jones. If he fights him and loses, then that takes away his mantle as the greatest heavyweight of all time. And if he beats him, well, he's already got that. And Aspinall doesn't really have a name right now, outside of hardcore fans.
Right.
So for Jones, it's like, unless they pay him like probably more money than they've ever paid anybody ever to fight, I don't think Jones is going to do that fight. And even then, he might not. So
I would open the checkbook. And I don't know how TKO looks at finances for one fight, but if you're not doing the Conor fight, which as we kind of get some distance, it just doesn't seem like that's likely happening at this point. You have some more money to maybe throw at Jones to get that mm-hmm. next fight. I would do it. I think it's even if he beats Aspinall, it is a shot to make a new star, and it's up to Aspinall to win that fight and to solidify that heavyweight division. I would make that fight. And, you know, I know Jones wants Paheya. It's a super fight. It's an amazing fight, but I don't know, man. Like,
another risk for Jones too.
Right. No. It's the more intriguing matchup, I think, just because mm-hmm. you really want to see how good Paheya is. And cause you know, he's also a little bit older, and he's mm-hmm. His future is, you know, he doesn't have as many fights in the future as probably most people even realize, because not only his age, but his style. This dude,
yeah,
you know, he hits hard, and I think he even said he can't help out the December card because his hands are still messed up from the last fight.
Yeah, the thing with Pereira is he could be the first guy to ever win in three different weight classes world titles. So, I mean, that is something that they could sell that fight on. Next year, I mean, 2025, if they're going to throw money at Jones and whatever it takes, that's the year to do it.
Yeah.
Because in 2026, they're going to be looking for a new contract for their pay-per-views. So you want to juice up these pay-per-view numbers. I feel like that's partially got to do with why they've delayed the Conor fight. Because they want to get it on the books for 2025 if they do it. Yeah. And then you can maybe get Jones for one more, possibly two more fights. And if you can get a Conor fight in there as well, that's three fights. Figure a million buys per. That's $3 million right there. And then the other nine do the normal number. You're probably talking about $5 million for the year, which bumps up their average. And then, you know, they're more attractive to either ESPN, DirecTV, or whoever else they want to go into business with for, you know, 2026 and beyond. So I think the timing is key here. And Jones, in saying that he doesn't want to fight Aspinall, maybe he doesn't, or maybe he's just negotiating.
And that's what Big Dave was talking about earlier this week, in that he thought Jones was kind of creating more hype for the fight mm-hmm. by saying that it's not going to happen, which is a trick, you know, mm-hmm. and who's going to believe John Jones? He's another liar. Like, he's not to be believed. And if that is the trick to create more interest, or maybe for him to see, okay, what is the real interest in this dude? Like, is this what the fans really want? And, you know, what's my leverage here to get this fight done? Very smart if that is what he's mm-hmm. doing. But at the same time, you know, the UFC is sort of, originally the UFC was built on this idea that, you know, boxing's a little antiquated and the matchmaking, and we're making the fights that need to be made, and we don't have to deal with all these, you know, international bodies and all these different promoters, and we're just going to put it under the umbrella. And, you know, if for Jones, it's like, I'm either going to retire or I'm going to fight Paheya, then of course you do the Paheya fight. But if there is an option, I do wonder if the Aspinall one is the better idea, just to kind of raise the level of that division again.
I think they can do a stadium show in Europe if they do Aspinall. And for Pereira, I mean, that's probably an MSG or a Vegas show. And either way, they're going to have massive, massive gates. So if they do both, I would do Aspinall first and then do Pereira, and maybe even Pereira, maybe they put that in the Sphere. and you know, just charge huge
jack up the prices.
Yeah. And then they, you know, get a big pay-per-view number two. And yeah, and that really helps them out for 2025.
So you and I are going to be very busy this week. Tomorrow night on both of these channels, myself and Carlos Toro are going to recap the Tyson thing. And we'll talk a little bit about our good friend who passed away recently, Robert Silva, as well. You and I are going to be on the Observer on Saturday night after the UFC show. So we'll have that as well. So there's lots of stuff. You know, I was telling my wife, I was like, all right, here's my schedule for the next two nights. Not going to be a whole lot of, you know, hanging out, watching TV with the family these next two nights. And then, but you know, we don't have too many of these days. I can
at least there's no wrestling this week.
Well, that's what I was saying. I can always push the television wrestling off until when everyone's asleep. But then, yeah. And then next week we do have the Full Gear pay-per-view, which I know you're not too fired up about.
No. I mean, maybe I will get there, but you know, it's just so much right now. And again, you know, we're talking about these two big shows in the next 2 days. You know, so right now that's kind of my focus. And even like I wouldn't even say the Tyson Paul one is really. You know, I'm just more curious more than anything else.
And and there's not a heavy lift for you to watch it. It's just
no. Like I'm just going to turn it on and watch it. You know, and like I'm probably going to keep an eye on social media, and it's like, okay, the Serrano fight's starting. I assume that's the co-main, so that's when I'll tune in. And then
there are four fights, and I think one of them is a six rounder. The second one is a 12 rounder, and then both the Serrano, Katie Taylor, and the main event, they're 2 minute round fights. So those fights will go by pretty quickly.
2 minute rounds. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Women's boxing for some reason is still 2 minutes.
Well, but the main event is 2 minutes is funny. And it's sanctioned too, right?
So those guys don't die.
Yeah. If they get out of the second round, I'll be surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, I, and by the way, like when we get to it, don't take any of my analysis because I don't like I'm as casual as they come.
No, but it's good because this is who that fight is just supposed to be for. All right. Let's talk about this main event. John Jones, Stipe Miocic. If I was to ask you, how do you envision this fight going from the beginning, from the bell ring, from his crawl, from Jones's crawl into the cage, from round one to whenever? How do you envision it going, and what is ultimately your prediction?
How I predict it going is Stipe is going to charge and try to tie him up against the cage, try to get some shots in before Jones can get his timing going. Jones is going to keep a distance, keep his timing, just wait and wait and try to pick him off from either as he's coming in or from distance. And then eventually, and when I say eventually, I mean, I don't think it's getting out of the first round. He's going to rock him, and then he's going to just follow up and finish him. I think it gets finished on the feet. I think Jones knocks him out. I think like I said, Stipe is going to try, cause I think that's his only chance. I don't think he's going to wrestle John Jones. I mean, Miocic isn't the wrestler that Cormier was, and Jones handled Cormier's wrestling, you know, fairly well, better than anybody. And so it's just the knockout power, and the knockout power stays longer than anything else. So that's his only chance of winning. So if he can get lucky and rock Jones early, then that's his only chance. And I don't think he will. Although when we get to the ROI, this is flawed, my system, when you've got guys that never fight. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, so I predict, I think Jones finishes him in the first round by stoppage.
Yeah. After we talk about the main card, we'll have Paul do his best bets for the show. So, it's kind of how I sort of see the fight going, though. So you believe that Jones is going to just stand there, take his time, and eventually catch him coming in, rather than kind of what he did to Cyril Gane, which was go for the takedown and submission.
I think he's probably more scared of Gane than he will be of Stipe.
Got it. Interesting. Yeah. And you know that I sort of thought similarly, like, does this fight get out of the first round? Does it get out of the second round? But let's just say it is competitive. And let's say that it goes past three rounds into the fourth or fifth round. Who do you think has the advantage there?
Probably Jones. I mean, he's younger.
This is only his second fight as heavy as he is. So we haven't seen that before. And we know Miocic can, you know, he, the last fight with Cormier went five.
Yeah. So and he's had that war with Hunt and, you know, he's had a few of them. Cormier, you know.
Yeah. But I still think you're right. The athleticism and being younger. If Jones has trained really, really hard for this fight, I think you're 100% right. What do you think about Gordon Ryan being in his corner?
I mean, it can't hurt. I think Jones is, you know, when you talk about him, like, he's always ready for the fight.
Yeah.
Like, he never shows up. The one time he didn't show, the one time he took an opponent lightly, I mean, that was, and a lot of people thought he lost. I think it was against, was it Anthony Smith or the fight before that? And I think he learned a lesson in that one, like, where he won the 5-round decision, but it, you know, a lot of people thought he lost. I know it's Thiago Santos. That was the one, because it was a split decision. It was right after the Anthony Smith fight. So I think he learned from that fight. And, you know, since then, you know, he's fought again, you know, like you said, two times since then, and won both those fights. You know, he looks so great against Gone in his heavyweight debut. And Gone in 20, you know, I was at that fight. And Gone at that time, I think, is a much better fighter than Stipe is now. So I just, like, I don't think this is going to be competitive. I hope I'm wrong, you know, but it's just, you know, kind of how I feel.
So if Jones wins, we talked about what they have set up for him. If the upset happens, do you think Stipe continues on? Does he want to basically be the guy to try and put over Aspinall at the end, or does he just retire?
I think he retires either way. I mean, although, you know, he'll get offered a lot of money to fight Aspinall, so maybe he changes his mind, but all indications are is he's already checked out. And that's part of why, you know, I feel so strongly the way I do about how this fight's going to go, because whenever, I wouldn't say whenever, 9 times out of 10, when a fighter goes in and says ahead of time that it's his last fight or her last fight, they generally lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually not even pretty. Occasionally you get that big win, you know, Robbie Lawler being the notable example fairly recently, where he got that nice knockout and he got the nice send off and everything, but usually they lose. And especially in a case like this, where, you know, you're fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world, the incentive will be there for him to keep going. And maybe he will, but, you know, I we've seen what happens when that happens. Look at Glover Teixeira a couple of years ago. You know, he won that title late in his career and he kept going and probably went one fight too long.
They really hate Ngannou, like the UFC I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I was joking with you in the Discord about how in the countdown special, they're showing like kind of Stipe's like career, like the last few fights and such. And then they go back into the pandemic days where he has the fight with Ngannou. They don't even show Ngannou. They show Stipe kind of going into the middle of the cage, and then it just fades to black and they move on. It's just like,
it's like when Randy Orton won the title at SummerSlam and he pinned somebody that doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
goodness. Like, I understand the pettiness, but you don't want to, well, I mean, they did show him beating Ngannou. It was, they didn't want to show Ngannou beating him.
And yeah, because in our day, you know, you'd always show the guy getting beat, the guy who wasn't no longer in your company. You want to show them getting humiliated, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Stipe did have that big upset win over Ngannou not that long ago. So
I wonder what is his UFC contract like? Do you know?
Stipe?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I assume this is the last fight in the deal, but I don't really keep track of that. I know our good friend Ryan probably would know, but yeah.
Would Bellator throw a crazy bag at him to get fight number 3 with Ngannou?
I mean, they probably, you know, they're stupid if they don't at least make a call, but I can't imagine. Unless they did a show in Saudi Arabia and were getting paid by the prince, you know, which they do. You know, they just had the Cyborg and Ngannou double bill over there. Nobody bought the show and everyone made money. Like, I don't know how that works, but, you know, hopefully everybody got paid, as my friend Jeff says, get paid. Yeah, it's bizarre, but Stevie's a different guy. Like, he's a firefighter, he's a Midwest, you know, homebody. I'm sure he'd rather
got young kids too.
Yeah, like, I'm sure he would rather just get paid. He's gonna make enough money in this fight that he never has to work a day in his life again. You know, and who wants to get beat up? And there's only so much money you need. Especially, he seems to be a guy that lives, you know, when he shows up at these events, he's like, you know, he looks like other than the fact that he's huge and, you know, like a fighter, he looks, you know, he dresses like everybody else in the crowd, you know, like he's not lavishly spending his money. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
All right, the second from the top here is a rematch from a fight many, many years ago, UFC 262, which was May 15th, 2021. And this is Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler. And they were recapping this fight on the countdown special that I watched. And I was trying to remember what happened. Like, I was pretty sure that Chandler lost, but I didn't remember how quickly sort of the tides had turned in that second round, where he was feeling very good about himself in that after that first round was over, he thought that he was going to finish Oliveira in that first round. And then you get to the second round and he's probably thinking Oliveira is a little bit more worse for the wear than he is. And he himself gets put down. Oliveira hasn't had the best record of late either, but he's fighting such high level competition. And like I said, Chandler hasn't fought since 2022. This should still be a tremendously exciting fight, but who do you think has the upper hand at this point?
I'd have to say Oliveira. Number one, you know, he beat him 3 years ago. You mentioned that he hasn't had, you know, great record. I mean, he's lost two of his last three, but the two, one was to Islam, who like nobody beats.
Yeah.
And the other one was a split decision against Arman Tsarukyan, who is probably the top guy in the division besides Islam. So, you know, he's beaten Beneil Dariush. He's beaten Gaethje, Poirier, you know, Tony Ferguson when he wasn't, you know, the ghost of Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
You know, so like, He, you got to remember, before that Islam loss, he had won 11 straight. So, you know, it's not that long ago that he was the unbeaten guy that was mowing through everybody. And Oliveira's got so many different ways he can beat you. I mean, if you get to the ground, he is probably the best submission guy in the company, but he's also got crazy power. So, and Chandler's, you know, going to have some ring rust. And the other thing is Chandler is balls to the wall, kill or be killed. And I think, you know, this will probably go a lot like the first fight. I'm not discounting the fact that Chandler could knock him out because Chandler's got insane power.
Absolutely.
But if Chandler can weather that, if Oliveira can weather that, then I just feel like there's too many ways that Oliveira can beat him that I would expect the same result this time. But again, I wouldn't be completely shocked. The odds are, you know, Chandler is an underdog, but it's not like a huge underdog. So there is some value in him, but I'm just crazy looking forward to this fight. Like, I think it's going to be insane for however long it lasts. And I kind of almost wish, I hope maybe they bring Max Holloway down and then he challenges the winner to fight for the BMF title. That's what I'd kind of like to see.
We always look ahead. And if your educated guess is correct, that if they do a Conor fight, they'd rather it be in 2025. does this fight have anything to do with Connor? Would we still have Chandler and Connor? Or if Chandler loses, would Connor be like, nope, you know, you're washed now, we're fighting somebody else? Like, what are the mechanics involved in? Does this have anything to do with the winner or loser have anything to do with that?
I think no matter what, like, you'd probably still go back to Chandler and McGregor because they have the history of coaching on Tough and they've got some bad blood. And honestly, like, if he wins, then it's like, okay, you know, he's coming off a win and there's a lot more interest in it. If he loses, Connor's probably more wanting to fight him because he might think he's washed. So, you know, whereas with Oliveira, like, I don't think there isn't that, like, pent up interest in a McGregor Oliveira fight. Not that it wouldn't be fun. I think people would assume that Oliveira would mop the floor with him no matter what. So yeah, I think it's funny. Like, the winner gets Max Holloway, the loser gets Connor. Like, you know, and the Connor fight will be the much bigger fight. If they even go to that. So it's, and then again, you're playing games with Connor, like, and who's Oliveira also doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would be up for that. Like, if Connor drops out or if they try to post one, he probably, oh no, just give me somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I'll fight, you know, Armin again.
Have you been paying attention to this Connor trial?
Just reading up, you know, like what Dave's written and what I see on social media.
It just sounds so gnarly. Like,
it does. And I mean, it's like, it's what, 6 years ago. You know, I think it's before he had kids. So, you know, he heard so many things about Connor. And I mean, you made the comment at one point, like when this started, you had to almost look back and see, okay, which incident are they talking about here?
Right.
Because there's been so many. And I actually confused it with a different one at first, because there was one that happened like 2-3 years ago.
In the bathroom, right?
I assumed it was that one.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Originally.
Yeah. It's nasty, but it's also like there's some stuff there that you kind of, I don't know, like, if I'm the lawyer for Connor, like, you know, and the fact that the police dropped the charges, you know, like, I feel like she's probably going to get paid, but I'm not 100% sold on her version of what happened. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying Connor didn't do something wrong, but there's just some stuff that doesn't add up.
There, it does seem like his celebrity was very influential in some of the decision making, and then you add the drugs that they were abusing at the same time, then judgments are very questionable. But the thing that I can't get out of my head is just the when she went to her doctor,
and
that's the thing that I just can't stop thinking about. So
anyways,
this is that we won't lean too much into that, but so what I was going to say is, I remember what made me remember this story is I had a guy who was contacting me through WhatsApp. Have you ever used WhatsApp?
Yep.
Okay. So he was sending me notes in WhatsApp. He's from that area. And he was talking about how the UK law, basically, they can't name anybody in these things. And he's like, he's sending me stuff. He's going, this is about Connor. I was like, really? He's like, yep, this is about Connor. And here's the story. And like, it was like the secret thing. And I felt like, oh my gosh, am I supposed to have this information? But that's what made me remember what the story was. I went back. I was like, yeah, I remember hearing about this. And then they just dropped it. So then I didn't hear about it anymore. But I remember when the guy was sending me the information, he thought that Connor was going to get the book thrown at him, but then they didn't do anything. So, all right. One of your favorites is on this undercard as well. Bo Nickel.
He's
leveling up, I guess, against Paul Craig, a vet of the game.
Yeah. And Craig honestly is one of my favorites too. So I'm really looking forward to this fight. Paul Craig, for those that don't know, has done a little bit of pro wrestling. He was a tag team champion in ICW, which is a Scottish indie promotion. And, you know, and he's a submission expert. So this is a new test for Bo Nickel because, you know, he's a wrestler. He's got the crazy power as well. But Craig is a guy that can pull out submissions. He's had, I think, 3 different third round late submissions in his career. But he also, like, he tends to, I think his game plan sometimes is I'll get hit and I'll go down and then I'll try to submit the guy when I get to the ground. And sometimes that doesn't work out for him, as happened in his last 2 fights. So I think the idea here is we're going to see what kind of power Bo Nickel has, because if they do go to the ground, like, I don't think he's I don't, well, Nickel's probably training with a bunch of good guys. Like, he's going to control him on the ground with the wrestling, but he's probably never dealt with somebody with the submission skills that Paul Craig has. So it is a new test for him, but he's third from the top. So, I mean, we're getting close at this point. Like, Craig, I think it's, I don't think he's ranked in the top 15. If he is, he'd be near the bottom. But if Bo Nickel beats Paul Craig, and especially if he finishes him, I would expect that Bo Nickel will be ranked. And then we're probably talking about two wins to get to a title shot, would be my guess. So, you know, we're he'd be like 9-0 at that point. And, you know, probably early 2026 is would be the time frame.
Yeah, nice little I would expect the hype machine to be pretty high on him in this fight.
And he's got it all. Like, he's got a great promo. He's got a great look. He's got the skills. I don't know how much of it. I haven't watched the countdown, so I don't know how much of him they're showing.
They didn't show any at all.
Oh, okay.
It was just on the two top fights. Okay. Yeah. I was expecting to see a little bit, but they spent a lot of time on the main event. So,
okay.
And so then also Viviane Araújo against Corinne Silva. And this is like another kind of setup for a young star. I was looking at Silva's record. She's 18-4 and technically 4-0 in the UFC, though she did have one win on the Dana White's Contender Series. And Araújo is 1-3 in her last three, and she's much older as well. So this seems kind of be similar to the Bo Nickel setup here for this fight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, of those four fights that you mentioned, three of them were first round submissions, and before that, she's basically six of her last seven fights, she submitted her opponent, and five of those were in the first round. So, I mean, that's the idea here, is, you know, and to get a nice showcase win for her. It's two Brazilians against each other, and you've also, you know, her opponent, Araújo, has lost three of her last four fights. So, but she has not been, I'm just looking back, the last time she was submitted was 2017. So, you know, it's 7 years since she's been submitted, and that was very earlier in her career. She was only 3-1 at that point. So, you know, it's not going to be as easy probably as her first one, but if she can get through Araújo, I think these women are both ranked. So, you know, this would be flyweight's interesting because there's a number of people on the come up at women's flyweight. And we've just finished that series with Shevchenko and Grasso. You know, they fought three times in a row now for the title. So Shevchenko needs some new challengers. And if Karine can, I think that's how it's pronounced. Karine.
Oh, is it Karine?
I think so, but I'm not positive. I'm never quite sure on these ones. And she's still fairly new. I mean, it's only her fifth UFC fight. I'm somewhat interested. It's interesting that they put this on the main card. You know, you've got, you know, Chris Weidman, Jim Miller, Mickey Gall. You know, all names people know that are fighting on the undercard. And
Eric Anders has a really nice story as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, on the comeback trail, and he had to clean up his act to get to get his kids back. And hope, you know, the way that he was describing.
Is he a former NFL guy too? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah. And the way that he was describing his drug use from back in the day, he's like, yeah, you know, I wasn't like smoking crack or heroin in the streets. But yeah, I was doing coke, like just like that coke was like this, you know, a little, I guess it is a little bit of a higher party drug than smoking crack. I guess that's, you're getting into the streets or whatever. But I mean, that's a nice story. And he's facing Chris Weidman. The Mickey Gall one did make me chuckle. The Mickey Gall one is just, we're pro wrestling fans are always going to laugh at that one. And then Jim Miller, like, so they are utilizing, at least on the undercard to me, some of the old names, knowing that casual fans are going to be interested in this one.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they'll be on the I think both those guys, Weidman and Miller, are both on the ESPN portion or wherever this is going to air.
ESPN,
it says ESPN on Topology.
ESPN so. News, FX, okay. ESPN Plus.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia.
So not ESPN main network, because they got college football.
Right.
But yeah, so I think most people now watch it on Plus. Like, I don't know that for sure, but that seems to be, you know, if it's on ESPN, obviously they're going to get a bigger audience. But if it's a choice between ESPN News and ESPN Plus, I think you're probably getting more people watching on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
Because that's where you watch the pay-per-view anyways.
Yeah, then you don't have to switch over. You're just in the same app.
Here in Canada, I got three different options. I have to watch the early prelims on Fight Pass, then I switch over to TSN, and then I switch back over to pay-per-view. It's crazy.
So the opener on the main card is Mauricio Ruffy against James Lawntop. I don't know how you pronounce the double L there at the beginning.
It's just Lawntop.
Catch weight, though, because Lawntop takes the place of Charlie Campbell, who was the original opponent, and he had to pull out. So they made it a catch weight at 165.
Yeah, I don't really got much on this one. It probably feels like a setup for Mauricio Ruffy, who's got a nice highlight of the year, knockout of the year candidate in his first fight back in May. He's got four straight finishes, only one in UFC, though. So, I mean, this is his second UFC fight, and they got him on the main card already. So that's kind of telling. And the fact is, when his opponent went down, they got another opponent for him and kept him on the main card. So that says, you know, when UFC does that, it tells you, okay, we see something in this guy. And Brazilian fighter, and Dana really likes his Brazilians. He's fairly young, 28. I don't know a ton about him. I mean, obviously I watch everything. So, you know, I've seen him fight, but you know, my recollection is not the greatest. Sometimes when you watch, you know, what is it, 13 fights a show for 40 weeks a year, plus the contender series and everything. You know, I'm probably watching 1,000 fights a year.
But you're not tracking them like the pro wrestling.
I'm not tracking them. Brian does.
Brian tracks all the fights he watches?
I think so. He puts star ratings on the Wrestling Observer Board.
Does he really?
Yeah. All the cards. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your segment here?
Mm-hmm. I am. I did my homework this time. Last time I had to do it, and I still did okay. I think two of the three won. So, that was just off the top of my head without the research. But I'm ready.
Let's give you the graphic and sound effect here. It's with Paul Fontaine. All right, go for it.
Happy. Okay, so I do this. It's a system called ROI, which stands for Return on Investment. And it's basically, I look back at the fighting history and the odds going into those fights for all the fighters on the card. And if you have a high number on your ROI, that's, you know, that's good. And if you're low or negative, that's bad. So for instance, the top guy that I'm going to mention in a second has an ROI of 55.4%. So that means for every $100 you wager, you make a $55.40 profit. So historically based, and that's based on their last 10 fights. So based on all that, my three ROI favorites, and I'm going to preface this first one by saying, I mentioned it earlier, the system is somewhat flawed when you're dealing with people that haven't fought in a while. My number one ROI is Stipe Miocic. Believe it or not. 55.4%. Jones was at about 20%, and the reason for that is because the odds are always so high on
him. Yeah, you have to bet a lot of money to actually make money with him.
So a Jones 20-1 means, you know, the odds are probably normally like 5-1. When he wins, so if you're betting 100, you're only making a $20 profit. Whereas with Stipe, he's a plus 440 underdog here. So really, you only have to be right one out of every five times in order to make money. He's got a 3-1 record as an underdog, and his three wins were against Francis Ngannou, Daniel Cormier, and Fabricio Werdum.
Wow.
All guys that were top guys at the time. And the Ngannou fight was not that long ago. I mean, something to keep in mind. I will bet on him. I don't think he's going to win, but at those odds, I mentioned the game plan. Like, he's going to try to knock Jones out early, and if he can do it, he can do it. If he doesn't get it done quick, he's not going to do it. That's all. Second one is Charles Oliveira in the co-main, 49.5%. So averaging a 50% profit. So every $100 you bet, you're making back almost 50. He's a minus 250 favorite. So a $100 bet here is going to make you $40. So that's right around his ROI.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a 4-0 record in his last 10 fights as a favorite. So he's actually usually an underdog, but when he is a favorite, he wins. The last time he lost as a favorite was in 2017. So
it's been
7 years. Yeah. And that was against Paul Felder at the time. So, and that was a big upset. I remember at the time, and that set him up. That's when he went on that long run of 11 straight wins, was after losing to Felder. Third one is from the undercard, on the ESPN main portion, though. Jonathan Martinez, he's fighting Marcus McGee at bantamweight. He is a plus 100 underdog, so it's basically 50-50. He's got a 44.7% ROI, but he's got a 4-0 record as an underdog. And his wins have come against Adrian Yanez, Saeed Nurmagomedov, Zvialed Lavishvili, and Thomas Almeida. And the last time he lost as an underdog was to Andre Ewell back in 2020. So lots of homework there. I did.
There you go.
Did more than usual. Yeah.
And so, I'll be excited to see when we talk about the next show, how you did on this one as well. Yeah.
So if Oliveira and Martinez win and Miosic loses, you still make money. If Miosic wins and the other two lose, you make money. So the only way you basically don't make money is if only Oliveira wins. Then you'll lose a little bit if Martinez and Miosic both lose. So I think they're fairly safe bets. But what I will also say, if you really just want to play it safe, I would bet like big money on a parlay between Jones and Nickel to finish both their fights. That's my almost guaranteed lock. I don't know what it's going to pay. If you're betting to finish rather than to win, it's going to pay better. You're probably going to make even money, maybe even slightly better than even money would be my guess.
I mean, if you really want to get wild, you'd predict first round finishes, right?
Yeah, that's a little trickier.
That'll increase the odds.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think Nickel's ever made it out of the first round. So, you know what? I think he might have gone to a decision the last time. I'm just pulling up. Second round submission. So yeah, the fight I saw in 2023, that was on the Jones undercard. That fight felt like it went 15 minutes, but it only went three. He finished him with a triangle choke, but he had him in that choke for like 2 minutes. It was crazy. But yeah, I love that guy. He's scary good.
I don't have Big Dave this weekend. Big Dave is going to be on vacation. So I got to find, I was like, am I just going to watch this at the house? I went to my gym. I go to the UFC gym because it's right across the street from my house. And they're like, yep, we're showing it. So I'll be with my, the only person in the gym with a laptop.
Are you going to just watch the main card?
Yeah, I'm just going to watch the main card.
Okay. Well, I'll watch the rest of it.
So. Yeah. So we'll, and you and I will be back on the Observer website Saturday night. Okay. Quickly switching gears. We're not going to spend a ton of time here, but I do want to talk a little bit about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. From the casual betting perspective, the odds are favored with Paul. Obviously, he's the favorite. Tyson, I mean, I imagine so much of the money is going to come on. It is probably coming in on Tyson.
What are the odds?
I don't even know what the odds
are. Oh, okay. Because I'm like, I mean, at first glance, I was like, okay, Jake Paul's got to be the favorite.
Yeah, he's got to. I'm sure he is.
But I'm thinking like, if it's better than, like, if it's 2-1 or, you know, like better than that, like if it's minus 200 or minus 180 or something, like, I think I'd feel safe about voting for Jake Paul or betting on Jake Paul. Cause I don't imagine like Tyson has any chance of winning this. Like I that's just my guess. Like I don't know a lot about boxing. So it's minus 200. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Mike Tyson's plus 160. I feel like, if I'm going to bet on this and I'm not, I would throw like big money down on Jake Paul. Like I just don't see how Tyson can win.
So I've put this thing over and if people are interested in this fight, I would take the time and watch the countdown special on Netflix. Cause it's tremendous. Okay. The strategy, as far as I can tell with this countdown special, is for you to believe that Mike Tyson has a great shot of knocking out Jake Paul. So much so that I think they're actually underselling Jake's training and overselling Mike's training. And we've seen this before. The famous one was Chuck Liddell. And who's that one guy who had beat him early in his career? And then...
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember. The name that springs to mind is...
It was basically a non-contender that the hype show built up to be an actual contender that people believed in. And then
Jeremy Horn?
Yeah, and then they bought the fight.
Yeah, so I think it was Jeremy Horn.
That's the strategy here. Now, the other thing that's really interesting about this is what I realized as I was watching it is if you are a Jake Paul fan, you're probably younger and you probably didn't really see Mike Tyson fight in his prime because you're young. And if you're a Mike Tyson fan, you probably don't really know who Jake Paul is outside of his, you know, social media name. And so what they really did was they had to educate both sides of the fan bases about the other fighter. I thought that was very smart. You got Ice-T narrating the thing. So it's just, I think it's just been a home run. Now, the actual sanctioning of the fight is questionable at best. 2 minute rounds. I think it's an eight round fight. The gloves are a little bigger, so that probably is. I'm sure it's to sort of save Tyson in a sense.
What's the catch weight? Do you know?
It's a heavyweight fight.
It's a heavyweight. Okay, so there's no limit. What's the size difference? Like in my mind, I almost feel like it's not as big as people probably think it is.
So I think Jake Paul probably, if he was to actually get in the fight game for real, like for real.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he'd be a middleweight. So what's
that, 167?
Yeah. And so he has bulked up.
Yeah.
To like 220.
And Tyson was a small heavyweight, right?
He's small stature, but he's a tank. So he's probably around 225, 230 is my guess.
So it's not like, so we're probably talking about 20 pounds maybe difference?
In real weight?
Yeah.
Probably 20 or 30 pounds. But at bulked up Jake Paul weight, they're probably going to walk in the cage not that different.
And Paul's going to have the reach advantage, right?
I believe he's a little bit taller.
Yeah. And he'll have the, obviously, the speed advantage. There we go.
I don't know about hand speed, but foot speed for sure.
So that someone in the chat says Jake is actually heavier. So I don't know if that's correct, but.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I think they did weigh-ins today. So.
Oh, okay. There you go.
We would have had to. So
that's not as big of an issue.
This is my guy right here, Pro Wrestling Joker. You know, Pro Wrestling Joker is the best kind of WWE fan out there. So I want to put Pro Wrestling Joker over, because we deal with some bad WWE fans. Pro Wrestling Joker is the best WWE fan.
Awesome.
So that means Tyson probably did a lot of sparring and cardio late in the thing, just probably to test it. You know, they probably didn't want to do a whole lot of sparring and a whole lot of cardio to wear him down before the fight, but he did probably have to really amp that up to make sure that he was going to be okay. And so I would imagine that's how he got down to 220. But yeah, Jake was the whole countdown special was Jake talking about how to keep the pounds on, because when you do that heavy training, and I've actually, you know who I talked to about this and had a pretty interesting conversation was Filthy Tom. Filthy Tom was talking about how he could eat the crappiest, most caloric diet out there, but then when he trains so hard that he just drops the weight, and it's really hard for him to keep weight on when he's in training. And I would imagine, you know, that was probably Jake's thing too, is like, he's just adding so much weight and then he goes and trains and then he loses it and he's got to add it back up again. So that was part of his deal. It'll be interesting to see if he can actually carry the weight. Cause a lot of times these guys who are used to, you know, sort of their quick reflexes and stuff, it's not there. I don't know if I would want to make my reflexes slower with a Mike Tyson punch coming. But also the other thing is the Tyson intimidation at 58 years old going to work on Jake, because that the mind game was half the battle for Mike. And it does that still work with someone like Jake, who's the goofiest dude out there doing crazy stunts. So, this is very nice by Pro Wrestling Joker. Gave us a super chat. This dude is actually in.
Nice.
He's actually going to be at the Garden. Pro Wrestling Joker lives the life, man.
How much did that ticket cost, Pro Wrestling Joker?
Well, we'll see if he says. Right. So the other thing about Pro Wrestling Joker is, have you been following this Brian and Vinny t-shirt contest?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think the last episode I listened to, I didn't see it, but they talked about the different options.
He's one of the semifinalists in
graphic contest. Nice.
Okay, well, I'm in charge of kind of putting that together. I have to do
so
that.
So he might win tonight. A free subscription to Wrestling Server. Nice.
And he's also a great subscriber as well. Awesome. He supports very, very, very well. Great fan to have for that website. So I would say if you have any interest whatsoever, I would watch the special because I think you'll get a kick out of it. And so the last point is, and we'll get out of here in a second. Watching this, Netflix, I don't know who they got to produce this special. And look, they spent a lot of money on it. They have a ton of money to put this stuff together, right? You're spending time with Jake. You're spending time with Tyson. This is the best pro wrestling hype job that I've seen in quite some time. And I would suggest people who work at AEW to just watch it because I think they will be inspired rather than these, you know, Julia nightmare scenarios, whatever they're trying to do with her character, which I imagine some people really liked it. I don't know how it's supposed to get me to want to watch her wrestle matches again, but, you know, sort of the sci-fi-ness of it. There's a lot of sort of Wyatt stuff in there that I'm sure that they're being influenced by. But watch that, because the whole idea is we have this fight. Now, how do we make you want to watch it even more? There's a little bit of intrigue. How do we turn that intrigue into making sure that you watch? And this Netflix special has done the best job that I've seen since the UFC primetime series that they used to do, which was a knockoff of the 24/7 from HBO. We're going back several years, but those were the best promotional vehicles out there. And, you know, I would have people from AEW watch this, and I think they would get some good ideas. Pro Wrestling Joker has your answer here, by the way.
There we go. I will check that out before I watch the fight. Then you've sold me. I'll make some time and
you know, they're like 30 to 40 minute episodes. So they're not hard.
How many episodes?
There's three of them.
Three. Okay. Yeah. I can make time for that.
All right. So, thank you for doing this as always. And we want to do more of this stuff. We want more UFC content on both channels. Cause I still really enjoy the sport. We want more boxing stuff on both channels as well. So we're going to do more of these. And Carlos is ready for tomorrow night, even though he hates the idea of the fight, which I do too, but it's just interesting. So, So we'll be back tomorrow night with Carlos Toro, talking about Tyson and Paul. And then we got a whole slate of stuff on both networks. So if you can hit that subscribe button on either the Fight Game Media YouTube channel or the BSPN Media YouTube channel, I would greatly appreciate it. So for Paul, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.